Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to the Junks, live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team today. Coming up at 9:20, we will do the entertainment page. Coming up at 9:40, we will welcome in Grant and Danny. We're resuscitating crosstalk.
Yeah, we're going to hang out with them. We're doing our top five Christmas movies.
Yeah. Initially, yesterday, we said top five underrated Christmas movies. That got amended to just top five.
Yeah, it's top five.
So we're doing that at 9:40 with Grant and Dan.
I feel
Dan.
Like we've done that before, but maybe not with them.
It's all good. Do it whenever.
Yeah. 9:40 segment.
But right now, we welcome in on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, Barry Zwerluga, Washington Post sports columnist. Hello, Barry. How are you?
Great. Hope you guys are doing well.
Hey, Barry. Yes. Is there a Christmas movie that you have to watch each holiday?
I don't say I have to watch. First of all, I have to watch, like, you know, Charlie Brown Christmas. If you have kids, you got to do all those, right?
So, yep, a staple.
Christmas Vacation, I don't know why.
Oh, I love it.
It's so, every time it's like you kind of get something else from Cousin Eddie or, right. You know, I don't know. That would be the one, as stupid as it is.
Well, Clark is just hysterical. Everything he does, everything he says, he's just funny.
He's so awesome. It just makes me want to put up so many lights.
Right.
So great.
When the old relative, I can't remember what he is, when he destroys Clark's Christmas tree by lighting his cigar.
Yep.
And then Clark goes on a rave out. It's just a great scene.
Oh, it's awesome.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Chevy Chase is one of the best. All right. Yep. Let's talk about this deal. 7 years, $245. They tacked on 3 years and $145 million, essentially. $80 million deferred. We knew that was coming, probably. The question we've kind of been asking ourselves and the question we've asked the listeners and the fans today is this a good deal?
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's a couple ways to look at it. I think it is, because that's what it is, a market deal. It's a record-setting deal that also can simultaneously be what the market dictated. It's going to be record-setting for, you know, whatever, 72 hours or a week or 2 weeks until Cole signs. So just not because necessarily Cole has accomplished more than Strasburg, but because he's 2 years younger. He's 29, not 31, and that really, really matters. You're paying him through age 35 instead of through 37, like the Strasburg deal. But here's what I would say that's important for Nationals fans, and it has to do with how the club handled this. I'm not saying that it necessarily is more important that they re-sign Steven Strasburg as opposed to Anthony Rendon. I think that's a great debate from a baseball perspective. But from the beginning of this process with both of them, Strasburg was always the one with a foot back in the door, and Rendon is always the one with a foot out the door. So if you mess up the one where you were kind of favored to land him because you were – you know, the deferrals were too much, or you lowballed them, or you did some of the stuff that this club has kind of done in the past, then that would feel really monumental, like, oh, we blew it with the guy that we should have signed, the guy that should have been easier. Now, can we reel in Rendon, who feels like he's leaning elsewhere? That would have felt really, really bad. This feels like this is a guy that they drafted first overall in 2009. He was one of the only reasons for hope here from the day he was drafted for several years. He grew into a pitcher that, instead of being fragile, is a total stud and a postseason stud and hero. And they did it right. They said, you want to be here. We want you here. We understand why you opted out. It's not a slap in the face to us. It's a business decision that only makes sense for you. And this is a fair deal to keep you here. I think it's about the happiest ending they could have had.
Yeah, Barry, I'm with you. I don't think he was ever really seriously close to leaving. I think I'm sure he had discussions with Boris saying, go out and create, you know, the market interest, you know, like, we'll visit with a few teams, but I want to stay here with the Nats. I want to retire as a Washington National. I think that was probably the message that he gave to Boris, and Boris made it happen.
Yeah, and you can do – what this shows is you can do that. You can get a deal that allows you to retire as a Washington National that also gets you a massive raise and more years. I talked to Steven about the opt-out midseason, and it's hard to remember what it was like in July or August. One, they were still fighting their way back from 1931. They hadn't won a World Series. You didn't know if they were ever going to win a World Series. It didn't necessarily feel like this was the team that was going to turn the corner. And his main point, it's easy to make this point midstream, was, look, the opt-out is I need to feel like I'm somewhere where we can win, where we're committed to winning. And if I don't get that feeling here, then maybe I would want to explore elsewhere, you know, and then the Yankees enter the equation, or whoever, the Dodgers or the Angels. That all makes sense. Now he's looking back, and it's not only an organization that has committed the funds to winning, but has actually won. I think that changes how you feel about a place. It doesn't mean you're not going to do the smart business thing, but I think you're right. You know, he didn't go into this opt-out saying, wow, I wonder where else I could go. He went into it saying, the extension I signed was at a bit of a discount. You give something to get something. Now I'm going to get my fair market rate. I would love for it to be with Washington. Let's see if we can work this out.
So do you think there's a 0% chance Rendon comes back, or is there still a fighting chance?
I don't think it's zero. So I think I would put it this way. If they don't bring Anthony Rendon back, it's not going to be just, as Mark Lerner said to NBC Sports Washington, because they could only afford one of the two guys. Let's be clear about that. Right. That is a choice that ownership would make. It's fine. It's their money. It's not our money. But it's not a – there's no salary cap. And it's not like Steven Strasburg and Anthony Rendon would be just pure adds to an already large payroll. I mean, Strasburg's average annual value – was $25 million before. It's $35 million now, so that's like adding a $10 million player. It's not nothing, but it's not a huge amount. Anthony Rendon didn't play last year for free. He made $18.8 million. So if he's going to make $35 million, yes, that's a huge increase, but it's not like you're adding $35 million to your payroll. As I said, I kind of feel like Rendon has had his foot out the door the whole time. He, unlike Strasburg, unlike Scherzer, he is really not into the deferrals thing. He feels like, mm-hmm. why would I accept a deal where you get to invest my money when I should be making it and I don't get it till later? That's his choice. That's right. A fair way to think. The Strasburg deferrals weren't extreme. That's the kind of deferrals that even other teams do. So do I expect Rendon to be back? I don't. Uh-huh. Is it because they just simply can't afford him? No, I don't think it's that way.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's just the wrong word for them to use. When you're worth $5 or $6
sure.
billion, they should have just said, we choose to only bring one back.
Right.
Because
or
they can
just
certainly
not say anything at all. Just don't say anything. And if Rendon gets an offer from Texas that's 7 years and 270 or something, you can say, look, we loved Anthony. We raised Anthony. He's a big part of the reason that we won a World Series. We just couldn't see how we can put together a team when it got that number. And we feel like he wanted to go back to Texas. I mean, we're supposing where he ends up. But I just think it was bad framing on the front end on Mark Lerner's part.
And going forward, since Max's deal is up in 2 years, and I don't know if he's going to want to stay or what he would kind of command in terms of a free agent contract. He'll be like 36, I think, right? And after his deal is up? Yeah.
Scherzer will be 37.
Oh, 37. Okay.
So, there's a lot to, I think.
So I feel like, you know, I feel like Barry, it's kind of like a small window type of deal because you don't know if Max is coming back. So I feel like, all right, you got Max, who's still dominant for the next 2 years. Obviously, Strauss can be dominant for the next 2 years, but you don't know if Max is going to be here in year three. So if you lost Strasburg and you lost Max in 2 years, well, then, and Corbin's your number one, well, then you really got to fill some slots.
So I think yes, I agree with you. It felt important. And if you think about it, you know, whatever this team accomplished this October and whatever it's accomplished since 2012, since they first made the playoffs, so much of it is about starting pitching. And that's not just Strasburg and Scherzer and Corbin, but it's, you know, go back years. In 2012, it was Gio Gonzalez and Jordan Zimmermann. That, you know, in 2014, throw Doug Fister in there. They have built their team. Mike Rizzo's saying is always, with starting pitching, anything is possible. Without it, nothing is possible. And so is replacing Anthony Rendon's bat an easy thing to do? It's not. Of course it's not. Mm-hmm. But I agree with you. Replacing Steven Strasburg's innings and performance in those innings is a lot more difficult.
I don't know who originally reported it. Maybe it was Rosenthal. I could be wrong. But what do you make of the, and I guess preliminary, but the Nats are interested or at least inquired about Chris Bryant?
Well, I mean, that's interesting. What would they have to give in return? I mean, does that package include Carter Kieboom? What do they project Carter Kieboom to be? You know, it would have to be prospects with a lot of control, I would think. That's a way where you could be, you know, it would be an arbitration level salary. So it would be more along Rendon's, you know, like in the $18 to $20 million range over the next couple of years. It wouldn't be, you know, you don't have that player forever. He's got 2 years left on his deal. But I would expect that fits. What it fits is Mike Rizzo's kind of aggressive nature. Like, he's not going to the winter meetings, and he's not going to go, if this goes further with Rendon, he's not going to go into the holidays just wondering whether Anthony Rendon is coming back to the Nats. He's going to they have a plan. You know, Josh Donaldson, I've been told, is a backup plan. They're going to obviously keep tabs on him. But could they be creative and get a real star like Bryant, who's, you know, the Cubs are in a weird spot. They won it all in 2016, but there's a lot of unrest there, not only among the fan base with the front office, but with the front office among some of their players, Bryant among them. So that'd be a fascinating one. I don't know you know, how much there is to it, but it would not surprise me at all if the Nats are really trying to be creative and aggressive and see what it would take to get a player of that caliber.
Joined by Barry Svrluga, Washington Post sports columnist. So ESPN releases their Sunday Night Baseball schedule yesterday. The Nats are making zero appearances. Do they feel slighted by the fact that they're the World Series champs and they're not going to be featured on Sunday Night Baseball, at least as the schedule looks right now?
I think it's weird. I mean, I don't know whether I'm not in San Diego. I haven't been in touch with a ton of their people. It's not only weird in that, okay, they're the World Series champs. They've got some star power. I mean, if it's Sunday Night Baseball and you've got a 40% chance of having Steven Strasburg or Max Scherzer pitch that game, that's more eyeballs. You know, I think they have Juan Soto is, if he's not on the brink of being a star, he's a full blown star, right? He's a guy that you can put in the ads during SportsCenter and say, you know, Juan Soto on Sunday Night Baseball. It's weird. I mean, as you know, baseball has a problem in that some of the stuff we love about it, the everydayness, the fact that you can flip on the program every night during the summer and it's like instant reality TV. That's so great, makes it not appointment TV. So I think it's odd that they're not in that, you know, kind of marquee time slot, but I also think the marquee time slot matters less in baseball than it does in a lot of other sports.
So now that they re-signed Kendrick, I guess we still have to wait and see what happens with Zim, right? So I was just going to say, would that be the platoon Kendrick Zim, or would they look for another guy, you know, maybe a lefty to play first base and platoon there? Or do you think that they bring back Zim and then Kendrick and Zim just share duties?
So I definitely think that they want – I know that they want to bring back Zimmermann, and I don't think that they think it's going to be difficult. The concern, you know, you want to make sure that, well, Zimmermann has been very open about he's either going to play here or he's going to play golf, and, you know, he understands he's not a $20 million player, which is what his option was for this year. You also don't want to say, like, here's $1.5 million, like, come back for, like, less than nothing. They're aware they need to kind of respect his status, not just his status, but also the fact that they think, you know, for 80, 90, 100 games, if he's healthy, he can really hit, and he can hit left-handed pitching in particular. Mm-hmm. The problem with the straight-up platoon with Kendrick is they both hit right-handed.
Right.
I know they want Zimmerman back. I expect that they'll get something done. Then it becomes, how does the rest of the infield fit together? And you're right, you kind of would like a left-handed bat. Is Kiboom your second baseman because either you brought Rendon back or you signed Donaldson or he's traded for Bryant, who's a left-handed bat? That kind of equation all will play itself out a little bit. You'd want some sort of left-handed presence, but I know for sure that they want Zimmerman back, that Zimmerman wants to be back, and they just need to figure out a number. I'd be shocked if he wasn't here.
Barry, thanks as always for the time. It's Barry Svrluga, Washington Post sports columnist. We'll talk to you again soon.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks
Thank
a
you.
Lot.
Thank you, yep. sir. Thank you, sir.
When we come back, we're going to pivot to the entertainment page, Cakes' entertainment page. And the lead story is about the biggest concert tour of 2020. It's the biggest story in all of entertainment, and it's been slept on for like the last 3 or 4 days. So we're going to talk about that next on the EP here on The Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Welcome back to the show. Junk's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. If you miss any part of today's show, it's not a problem at all. You can rewind up to 24 hours with Radio.com's silly new Rewind feature. Download the app, select our station, and you can travel back in time. You can be a time traveler. Radio.com. Get on your phone right now.
Back in time.
It's time now for Cakes' entertainment page. Not EB's, Cakes' entertainment page. And on Cakes' entertainment page, the lead story is something that's been out for the last 3 or 4 days now that we haven't touched on. That, in my opinion, is the biggest story in music, media, TV, movies, concerts, all encompassing.
All right, it's got to be some hair metal band who's doing some huge tour in 2020.
I think you might be all over it.
All right, I'm going to take a guess.
Are you going to guess the principals?
Well, I'm just... Oh, is it multiple bands or just one?
Oh, it's multiples. Oh.
I was going to say AC/DC is in it.
AC/DC is not part of the mix.
Oh, okay. All right, then I have no idea.
Valdez, why don't you fire up? You already played one of them on the end. Play another that will be performing this summer. Does this ring any bells for you? I know it doesn't. It does for me. This is Poison, fronted by Bret Michaels, the nicest person in rock and roll, who I had the pleasure to meet many, many moons ago.
It would have taken me a while to get Poison.
So Poison's
on the
bill.
Well, this is a deeper cut.
This is a...
Not really.
Fallen Angel.
Yeah.
This is so...
It's a seller.
This is...
But it's not every rose has its thorn.
That's true. I'm just glad you didn't play Unskinny Bop, because that's terrible and should never be played ever by anybody. So Poison's on the bill.
All right, who else?
Who else is on the bill, Valdeezy? I mean, hair metal legends.
That's Def.
No, this is Motley Crue.
Oh, that's what I meant, Motley Crue, yeah.
So Motley Crue's on the bill.
All right. So it's Poison and Motley. All right, go ahead.
And we haven't even mentioned that the lowest on the totem pole in this bill is Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. Pretty good.
Isn't Joan Jett a local?
Believe she is.
Is she from Rockville?
And she's been in, well, that would make a lot. She's from Rockville? That would make a lot of sense if she is. So she's on the bill. Poison's on the bill. Motley Crue is on the bill. And who's the co-headliner along with Motley Crue there, Matt Valdese? You've already mentioned them incorrectly, but you did mention them.
Def. That's what I meant.
Def Leppard.
Yeah, I got them mixed up.
The 2020 Stadium Tour, Joan Jett, Poison, Motley Crue, Def Leppard co-headlining is a hair metal smash-a-palooza.
All right, so where are they playing here locally?
National Park.
Are you going?
What do you think?
I guess you are.
Do you think I'm going to miss? That's the hair metal event of the decade.
What's that date or dates?
August. Hold on. It's August 22nd, I believe. So obviously the Nats are not in town. Saturday night, August 22nd, the Stadium Tour rolls into D.C. If you've ever been into any of those bands.
I was wrong about Joan Jett. She's from Pennsylvania,
okay.
And then she moved to Rockville when she was 9.
Okay.
But I'm guessing she went to Wheaton High School.
I did not know that.
Yep.
Nugget there.
She's 61.
61 years old, and she will be the first on stage Saturday, August 22nd at Nationals Park. The Stadium Tour 2020, the biggest story in all of entertainment.
Look how excited you get for that.
I'm very excited.
Is this your biggest story, or is this legit? Like selling out everywhere.
No, it's my biggest right. story, clearly.
Because I have a prediction, and it's we're going to be giving away a lot of those tickets.
Oh, really? You think there's going to be a lot of empty seats at Nationals Park for the Stadium Tour 2020?
I like Poison, and I like some of those songs of the other bands.
Yeah.
I just don't think they're selling out 45,000 seats.
Well, I mean, there's a reason why they're all going out together. It's called strength in numbers.
Yeah, there's no way they would sell out 45, but they could get 20, 25.
Yeah, but, I mean, these bands with regularity, even though they're way past their prime, they'll go to Jiffy Lube or they'll go to Merriweather Post, and they'll put in, 18, 20,000 will come out to see them. So if you put all four of them together, the three real big ones, Poison, Motley Crue, Def Leppard, I think it's going to be more filled than you think.
Yeah, it's called the Geritol Tour.
You can call it whatever you want to call it.
So many 60-year-olds there.
Oh, so
how
many.
How many faded tattoos?
So the millions. Millions upon millions.
How many saggy boobies are going to see?
So many. And I'm going to see all of them.
It's the Broke Rockers Tour.
You know what? It's clearly a money grab.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you at this point in your career? Why wouldn't they do it?
I don't know. You'd have to pay me to go to that concert.
Well, I'm hoping not to have to pay. I'm hoping to get some sort of
hooky job into we got connections up there.
Into the venue.
I don't know if I can sit there for two or 3 hours.
You know what scalpers should do before they walk into the gates at Nats Park?
What should they do?
They should have Metamucil ready.
Yeah.
Marlboro Reds.
Have a cane and Walker concession on the way in. It's not a bad bit.
So many old people there.
Instead of selling that fake Nats merchandise, just have your ginkgo biloba.
Have all of it. Just lined up and ready for purchase.
You'll have about 6 millennials there.
But anyway.
Ginkgo here.
In case you had missed it, and you clearly had missed the announcement.
$5 on the outside, $10 on the inside.
That is the biggest announcement in all of entertainment for me in the last, I don't know, several years. I just can't wait for that to happen. August 22nd, get your tickets.
They should have doctors with prostate exams outside.
It's not a bad bit.
Yeah. At each gate.
Have a bunch of health screenings.
Go into the truck and get your prostate.
I hope Nats Park has extra defibrillators.
All the Joes. Everybody's just jumping in off the top rope. Anyway.
You're happy about it.
That is the biggest story in all of entertainment.
They're going to make it up the stairs with those knees?
Anything else I read today is going to be disappointing.
So it's August 22nd.
August 22nd, the year 2020.
Who are you going to bring?
I'll probably bring my wife.
Does she like all those bands too?
I mean, not as much as I do, but she can get into that. She can get into that bill.
Well, you're definitely going to stay at the Homewood that night.
Probably will. It's probably a great call.
And just pummel the Skins.
There probably will some be. Probably.
Be skin pummeling.
Yeah.
Be skin pummeling.
Is that your birthday? Right around your birthday?
August 19th.
Oh, it's a big week.
Yeah. It is a big week.
Birthday
turn Fitty?
50, and then you go turn see Fitty? All the boys. Yep.
Poison and birthday Skins.
Poison, Motley Crue, Def Leppard.
It's going to be nothing but a good time in the Homewood.
That's true. Very good. Very good. By the way, that's the song that I guessed it on because I think it was with, this is many years ago, out at Jiffy Lube. Chad Dukes calls me. This is a radio insider from back in the day. Chad calls me.
Radio insider.
Like at 11 o'clock or noon. Says, hey, do you want to sing with Poison tonight at Jiffy Lube Live? Because they're opening for Rat. Or was it the other way around?
Right.
Rat was opening for Poison. And
Steven,
I'm a big Rat
Steven
mark.
Steven
Piercy, I believe former Junkies guest. He put out a book a few years ago.
Yeah. We did have him on.
So I said, of course I'm going to do that. Because Chad wanted no part of it. So I said, of course I'll go do that. Hang out with hair metal legends, go sing a song with Poison, hung out with Bret Michaels post-gig. Couldn't have been nicer.
In the trailer? Nicer. Where'd you hang out with him?
On his, backstage and then on his tour bus.
Oh, that must have been cool.
And had to do the show the next day.
Cocktails, beers?
Drinking like Coronas.
He's a big sports fan.
It was me and Oscar Santana out on stage singing Nothing But a Good Time with Poison. And I'll never forget it. I was wearing flip-flops, and the only thing I was worried about was don't take a header in front of 12,000 people here at Jiffy Lube Live and look like an idiot.
I wonder if that's on YouTube.
I don't think it is. But that was a fun night back in the day.
Is Bret Michaels from, I want to say he's from like Philly? Is he a Philly guy?
He might be.
Or maybe from like a smaller town.
He's from either like Mechanicsburg, PA, or like Harrisburg. He's like from where you are, from where you were born.
He's from Dolphin County?
I think he might be. You're going to look that up. You're going to figure it out.
Hold on. He is from Butler, PA.
Butler. He's from Caron, PA. Yeah. You're not going to find a nicer person on the planet than my guy, Bret Michaels.
All right. So it's north of Pittsburgh.
Right. He's a big Stillers guy.
Yeah, you're right. Went to Mechanicsburg Senior High School. Nicely done.
See? That's my guy.
I just remember him being a big sports fan.
You know what I've nearly done? I've nearly monopolized the entire EP with the stadium tour announcement. But I'll throw in a few other nuggets for you if you want.
Someone said that the concert at Nats Park before that is Green Day, Fall Out Boy, and Weezer.
They're definitely combining for a stadium tour. You know what?
I'd rather see that one.
That tour is okay, but of those three bands that are listed, I'd only really want to go see one of those three.
Of Weezer.
Yeah, and they share the same initials as Pharrell on the bench. Hey, get on my bench, come see Fall Out Boy, that's Park. I wouldn't really care that much to see Green Day or Weezer. Here's Green Day and Weezer and Fall Out Boy right here. See where they're at?
Yep.
Okay, the stadium tour 2020, way up here. It's off camera. It's so high, so much higher. So much higher.
Man, you get so
sized. I get the steamies.
For the hair metal bands.
I get the steamies, my friend. Look, let's be honest. How much longer are they going to all be together and intact and touring? Are they the Rolling Stones?
Are they in their late 50s, most of those guys? How old's Bret Michaels?
Bret Michaels has got to be like 50, 55.
So early, yeah, mid to 50.
I would guess somewhere in that range.
Mid to late 50s.
I mean, they're going to tour to 75.
Well, I mean, Joan Jett's 61. She's still touring.
You got to strike while the iron is hot, my friend. You got to take advantage of it while you can. And that's what I'm going to be doing next summer. Valdez's top story, I'm sure, would have been that Lizzo was flapping her bare butt cheeks all over the Lakers game last night. Can you imagine?
Two nights ago.
Lizzo, who has, I guess she's semi-talented, I don't know, allegedly. She's walking around.
Her AMA performance was awful.
Butt flapping around all over the place, butt on the seats, just hanging out all over the place. So if you're into Lizzo and you're into her, you know, walking around no clothes on, you could have been a party to that a couple nights ago at the Lakers game.
Did you see the AMA performances?
No.
Yes.
No.
Lizzo was terrible.
No.
Would you agree Lizzo was awful or do you like her?
She wasn't the worst, if I remember.
No, she wasn't the worst, but
I remember them being
particularly
bad.
I thought Selena Gomez was the worst.
Well, she,
I had heard that she had a panic attack
before. Yeah, she had a panic attack.
Okay, all right. Well, that makes sense, because she sounded terrible.
And then she said how she's riddled
with
anxiety.
She should have panicked her way back to the hotel and not even gone on stage.
All right, that's your EP. I'm sorry that I tainted it with a Lizzo story. It should have been all hair metal all the time.
That tells me there was nothing else on
you
the
know,
EP.
Well, it's Juice World stories.
Well, it was a Juice World update.
I did enough of those yesterday. I did 100 Juice World mentions
I figured out what Cakes was doing here, is that he felt bad that he did a million Juice World stories yesterday, so he had to man up and get all of his hair metal.
He had to drag it out.
He had to get his street cred back.
It wasn't that contrived. It really wasn't. I just realized that we hadn't even touched on the biggest entertainment story of the last decade, maybe of 20 years. So I need to give it a long runway, which I did. And we also want to save some time for Grant and Danny coming in. We're going to do some crosstalk before their show. We're going to unveil our top five Xmas movies.
By the way, this
each.
Is hard. This is so
difficult. It's difficult, but I have mine. Got them right there.
All right, I got five.
I think it's an unassailable list.
But I left off a bunch that I really want to include.
I'm sure you did. You can give some honorable mentions if you want. Grant and Danny hanging out with the Junks next here on The Fan. Welcome back to the Junks on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Our in-studio guests, Grant and Danny, they're going to be very interested at who's on the hot seat furnished by Marlowe Furniture. All the styles you love for less. Patrick Reed is on the hot seat after his blatant cheating at the Hero World Challenge in the Bahamas. Reed illegally improved his lie not once, twice, while his ball was embedded in the sand. It was caught on camera, and it set the golf world abuzz. Maybe Reed can quite the outrage, if I read it exactly, with a strong performance at the President's Cup starting tomorrow that I know Grant and Danny are going to be watching to finish.
It's what you want to get out of the game. You try to get the dirty hits out of the sports. Yeah. You try to get all the bad injuries. It's the disgraceful displays like that, Jason.
Tiger Woods should have told Patrick Reed, I can't have you on the roster. You're just a distraction. You're a cheater. You can't be on my team. That's what he should have said.
Yeah.
But he didn't. Anyway, he's a known cheater.
So right, before this, he cheated. This is not the first time.
Oh, I'm not going to say a litany of offenses, but he's got a little history.
Is he like the Patriots, where there's always something swirling around they have to explain away?
Yeah.
Can I tag in Valdez real quick? Is he like the fat guy from Georgia, or is that somebody else?
Yes, that is him.
Okay. He has lost weight.
But he was at Georgia, then went to Augusta State.
But
he got kicked off the Georgia team.
Everyone hates him for some reason.
He was stealing out of lockers.
He was stealing his teammates' stuff.
But on the Golf Channel, they actually found footage of him, the 2015 Hero, doing the same.
He does the same thing. He's just a loser. He's uber talented, but he's just a cheater. That's what he is.
By the way, welcome in Grant and Danny.
Thank you.
It's crosstalk, everybody.
Grant came in bearing some gifts. His wife made some homemade cookies.
Yeah, I've heard for years that my wife bakes.
Yes.
But ever since we dated, because I'm always fat and or about to be too fat, so she refuses to bake.
Okay.
But I just came home yesterday, and she thought today was the 10-year anniversary of Bruce Allen being hired by the Redskins.
Okay. Uh-huh.
It's actually 7 days from now, next Tuesday. She heard me saying Tuesday. So she baked a bunch of cookies to celebrate, because she knows it's a big day in the house. So I brought in cookies.
First, I grabbed a snickerdoodle, because this just looks delicious. This looks so good.
That's a one-shot right there. You can do that.
It's very good. But here's the pièce de résistance. It's Grant Paulson in cookie form.
It's a silly cookie.
There's got to be a cookie, what do you call that, like a frame, an outline or something that you use?
That's a cookie cutter, yeah.
I'm going to eat Grant Paulson's head.
Looks just like you.
In about 8 minutes, and it's going to taste delicious.
It's a good cookie, I'll say that. Also, there's some over there if you want the beard and the hair done with chocolate.
Okay.
Where it's me, but it's the beard and the hair with chocolate.
Very nice. So I didn't realize it's that intricate.
It is, yeah, for sure.
All right, so since we only have about 8 minutes, I think we should get to our top five Christmas movies. We'll just go around the room. I think we shall start at five.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we'll give each other's fives, and then we'll go to four.
All right,
I'm sure we'll like to talk about it and chime in on each film.
I'm guessing there'll be some overlap.
I heard
overlap.
Vish Ducks on my way in here say, I think we've done this before. You've done radio for 23 years. What top fives can we do that are new?
No, you're right. Absolutely.
Everybody loves lists.
And I'm sure that my list is different from the last time I did.
It's a mood thing.
Yeah.
All right, so who's leadoff batter?
Grant, why don't you start off with number five?
Number five is a movie that I think might be on your list and nobody else's. This is a Tim Allen classic. It's a handful of years old, but it's a must for me. Christmas with the Cranks.
It's very good. It's very funny.
Jamie Lee Curtis. Hot daughter goes away, falls in love with some donk. She's supposed to be gone for a calendar year. Yeah. She calls them. This is her parents, Jamie Lee Curtis and Tim Allen, to say, I'm coming home for Christmas 2 weeks after she left.
Okay.
They were going to skip Christmas because they didn't have to worry about Blair, their
daughter.
They
were going to go on a cruise.
Skip Christmas.
They were going
on
a silly
you.
Cruise.
They had all the fake tanning and everything.
Exactly.
They were going on a Nelson.
I love it. It's a good movie.
I love Christmas with the Cranks, but I knew you were going to put it on the list, so I didn't put it on my list.
All right.
But
I've never seen Christmas with the Cranks. Maybe I'll have to dial it up.
Oh, it's so funny.
See what it's all about.
Oh, it's so funny.
All right. I went old school with my number five, It's a Wonderful Life. I mean, it's just a Christmas staple. I know it's old. Being in black and white hurts it for me personally, but it's a classic.
I know you might fall over and your
clocks in at number five.
I don't
for
think
me.
I've seen It's a Wonderful Life start to finish.
Really?
It's a hard watch.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, long.
I know
it's
so I haven't.
It is long.
Here's a hot take. I'll never see that movie.
Yeah, I probably won't either.
Black and white is for the birds.
I'm kind of with you, and I'm making an exception here. It cracks the top five.
But it's got that old time, like, the real gift is friendship. It's got that kind of stuff. It's like, I can't. Yeah. I just can't.
By the way, that's the most universally loved movie. It just got panned by
75%
of us.
It just got crushed.
All right, so I've talked about this movie. Cakes loved it, too. But number five for me is The Family Man, starring Nicolas Cage and a hot Tay Leone.
Correct.
Don Cheadle's in it. Jeremy Piven's in it.
No file on that.
It's a good film.
It's very good.
Oh, it's so good.
Basically inspired my wife and I to have more than one child.
Yeah, if you have kids.
It was like the tipping point.
And if you have kids, it definitely brings a tear to your eye
Creepers.
Towards the end.
Yeah.
But it's
how old is it?
Early 90s, maybe?
I'd say 20 years.
No.
I think it's like early 2000s.
No, I'm sorry. It's 19 years old. Yeah, it's early 2000s. Yeah. Not early 90s.
2001, maybe?
Yeah, because Tay Leone, I looked it up. Tay Leone was 35 in that movie.
Yeah.
And now she's about, call it 53, 54. But she was hot in that movie.
That movie doesn't get a lot of run, so that would have even
every
worked
time
for
it's
our
on, I watch
underrated
it.
Christmas movies original idea. That's a good one.
Yeah. Number five for me, The Polar Express, beloved children's novel turned into a film. Tom Hanks, Robert Zemeckis, the dream team. Bring it together. Just a nice little journey of discovery for a kid taking a train to the North Pole.
You know, also brings a creeper to me, and it was number two on my list.
Polar Express?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Number four for me.
Nicely done, Danny.
Thanks.
Miracle on 34th Street.
Mm.
Love it. Love when they have the trial for Santa.
Now that's black and white too.
No.
This is the updated version.
This is the one with Matilda, the little girl that's in color now.
Gotcha.
So that's where I'll lose everybody.
Understood.
If the other one was not in black and white, that would be number four for me.
Number four for me, I mean, just a classic, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I mean, I don't know how that doesn't
make claymation one?
Everybody's top five. The original, yes. The OG Rudolph, number four.
Also receiving votes for me.
Yes, very good.
Yeah. All right, number four for me, Natty Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Chevy Chase is just a class. Clark is just awesome.
He's amazing.
Anytime he speaks, I laugh. Beverly D'Angelo, of course, Randy Quaid is Cousin Eddie. It's just a great flick.
But it's the right amount of Cousin Eddie.
It's the right regular
vacation, it's a lot of Cousin Eddie.
Yes. Yeah, they kind of sprinkle them
it's
in.
It's good dosage of Cousin Eddie. Yes, correct.
Probably nosing through the trash can. Number four for me, Home Alone. Nothing else needs to be said. Joe Pesci and the Wet Bandits, the promptest criminals of all time.
Mm-hmm. Come back around 9 o'clock.
The best.
Number three, Elf.
Oh, number three for me is Elf.
Yes. Will Ferrell is perfect. That's just a great movie. And is it Zooey Deschanel?
So hot.
Yes.
What a movie for her.
Yep.
That's the first time I saw her.
Dead!
And really fell in love with her.
Are we all going around with Elf at number three? Because that's my number three.
But I think the best scene in that movie is, what's the little person's name who was in Game of Thrones? What's that guy? Very popular.
Peter Dinklage.
Peter Dinklage.
When Peter Dinklage goes after Will Ferrell.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty solid.
That's the best scene in the movie.
That is good.
Yeah, but that was number three for me.
Danny?
Muppet Christmas Carol, number three. The Muppet Christmas Carol.
Very good.
I love the Muppets.
We're getting into the real rarefied air now with number two.
I got Christmas Vacation higher on my list, number two for me.
Okay.
First movie I watch to kick off the Christmas season every year.
Very good. I have Home Alone at number two overall.
I already mentioned Polar Express is number two for me.
Scrooged, Bill Murray throwing fastballs. That's his the perfect sweet spot for him is like the meter kind of moves back and forth. Kind of a jerk, still says funny things, but also endearing.
Yes.
He was excellent in that movie.
I would agree. Very good.
Are we on the
That's
number
honorable,
one?
Honorable mention for me. Number one, yeah. Number one on your list.
Macaulay Culkin. Get after it, young man. Go find your family. And in the meantime, beat up Harry and Marv. Home Alone is my number one film.
Numero uno. Not a bad choice. Christmas Story comes in at number one. I mean, how can it not be numero uno?
It hasn't been overplayed for you with
Ralphie and Company? No, of course. I can never get enough.
They're probably in my childhood at some point it would have been high. I don't even have it in my top seven or eight right
now. If I made a list of 27, it wouldn't be in there.
I mean, really?
I'm so tired.
I like it, but I've seen it so many times because it's run on 24-hour loop on Christmas Eve through Christmas Day.
That's because it's really good.
Yeah, I've just seen it 7 billion times, but honorable mention for me. All right, number one on my list, the black and white 1938 version, I think it's 38 version of A Christmas Carol, starring Reggie Owen.
Reggie!
Gene Lockhart, Kathleen Lockhart. Gene Lockhart plays Bob Cratchit, by the way. Reggie Owen plays Scrooge. It's only 68 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
It's Get In, Get Out, black and white.
It's the anti-Irishman.
Kind of cheesy, very old, obviously, but it always gets me. And I've actually DVR'd it so I can watch it anytime during Christmas.
Christmas Carol?
It's not the original, but it's 1938 version.
All right, I'll look it up. Danny, if it's black and white, I'm going to probably
hate
it.
Oh, it's so black and white.
Already been mentioned, Vacation. It's perfect. It's perfect. It's the best of all the National Lampoons. It's the one seed. It's excellent. It's outstanding.
I'm glad we switched it to top five because I was going to have a hard time with underrated.
Deep cuts.
I'll be honest. Yes.
So I will say nobody mentioned Jim Carrey's The Grinch.
It's very good.
That was hard to leave off the list.
I think he should have won an Oscar for that. He was unbelievable.
He was great. When you're in a costume, that would be more of a Kevin McCarthy question. I feel like it's a little easier to act. I don't know, but he was really, really good. And then the other one you guys probably have never seen. There's a movie called Trapped in Paradise. Seen it?
Nope.
Have not.
Watch it. Hilarious. John Lovitz and Dana Carvey.
Okay.
It's a 1,000 out of 10.
Valdez wants to give a late push for Trading Places.
Trading Places.
Oh, that's
very
good.
Great.
Christmas movie,
it's a very good movie.
Planes, Trains,
and
Automobiles.
No, yeah, Christmas and New
slept
Year's,
on
yeah.
that.
And,
might be number six on my list.
And my honorable mention, Family Stone with a hot Rachel McAdams.
Very good. We have to get out of here.
He
We're
bases
done for the
his
day.
On the hottest
day.
Chicks.
Thank you guys again for coming in. I have to eat my Grant Paulson cookie. We'll be back tomorrow.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today. All right.